The BBC understands British Steel is considering cutting 800 jobs at its plant in Scunthorpe. BBC News.
With Caroline Nichols. Jealousy and suspicion in a few moments as Roger is pursued by a former student with a crush. Conversations from a Long Marriage, starring Joanna Lumley and Roger Allam, is our 6:30 comedy. That's after a look ahead to Saturday.
Whether it's a trip to the seaside, a trek through a howling gale, or a journey into space, sound effects are essential in theatre, radio, TV and film.
You want that illusion to be that a microphone by the camera, this is what they were hearing.
The art and science of sound.
What I think is amazing about sound is what the brain does with it.
If I play a high-pitched sound, you will tend to hear it as coming from a higher location than if I played a low-pitched sound.
Knock Knock, 200 years of sound effects, with me, Sarah Anglis, on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds, on Saturday night at 8.
Now on Radio 4, Joanna Lumley and Roger Allam are a long married couple who tell each other everything, most of the time.
Conversations from a Long Marriage
by Jan Etherington.
Starring Joanna Lumley
and Roger Allam.
Too many broken hearts have fallen in the river. Too many lonely souls have drifted out to sea.
Episode 5.
Should I stay or should I go?
Hi. So, how was Pilates?
Spaced out, but not in a hippie way, sadly.
Your timorous eco-warrior still hyperventilating on the mat behind you?
Quite a long way behind me now, and he wasn't happy.
About social distancing?
Well, that, but mostly he's upset because the rabbits have been eating his curly kale.
You managed to keep a straight face when he told you this?
Of course I did. He doesn't think it's funny. He's one of life's innocents.
Who has fantasies about you?
I think he just has fantasies about us holding hands and dancing.
If you really believe he sees you as Ginger to his Fred, then you're the innocent.
Look, he baked me a sourdough loaf. And he gave me a starter in case I want to make my own.
A fat chance.
You put it in the airing cupboard and add to it and it swells up and then you give some to friends.
And you think that's a productive way of spending your time?
How can you get so worked up about a sandwich loaf?
You can't make sandwiches with it. That's the problem. It's full of holes. You remember we had a sourdough sandwich with Emmental cheese once? Half the time we were eating air. The only people who really love it are dentists. But they make a fortune out of sourdough tooth fractures.
You don't have to eat any.
Promise?
David's also grown me these decorative winter cabbages. Thought they might look good on the windowsill.
Or in the recycling bin.
He likes bringing me presents.
I reckon he was a Labrador in a previous life. Don't be surprised if one day he drops a dead pheasant on your Pilates mat.
Oh, that won't happen. He wouldn't squash an earwig. He can't bear the thought of eating or wearing anything made from animals. Oh. His new shoes are recycled from plastic waste.
I bet they squeak.
And all his clothes are made from bamboo.
I'm surprised he can bend over.
Stop it. I don't want to laugh at him. He's generous. His allotment's very productive. We had lovely courgettes, remember?
A few spare veg is one thing, but a home-baked loaf? And what's this on top? A flowery heart.
Everybody puts hearts on things.
When they're doing it for someone they love.
I think you're just jealous because you've never had much luck growing garden produce.
And that's the way to a woman's heart, is it?
There's something very appealing about a chap who can pull up a handful of King Edwards from his own patch.
I thought I was the one with the carry-on joke.
Sorry, I'm feeling a bit light-headed. I think I need to eat something.
Sourdough toast?
Yes, great. With Marmite, of course.
How many slices? Look at that. Holes. Told you. Call that bread. Good job you didn't pay for this.
It'll be fine. Just cut it a bit further up. Holes don't go on forever.
You're wrong. See? All the way through, like Blackpool Rock.
I don't care. Just whack a couple of slices in the toaster. I'm starving.
You'd be lucky to get one decent slice out of the whole loaf. It's like a jigsaw with bits missing.
Is this the post?
Yes. And there's a stiffy for you. Nothing for me. I never get invited to anything.
What are you talking about? The guys have asked you to lunch next week.
That's just an old geezer's drink-up. You have got a proper printed invite here. Even the envelope's thick.
Aha, about time. I thought it had got lost in the post.
What is it? Palace Garden Party?
The launch of Rick Roden's memoir.
Now there's a man who looks like he's got a pound of King Edwards up each sleeve and Jersey Royals down his trousers.
There was a lot of discussion about the title. I see they finally decided on running out of time.
Unsubtly combining his famously caring side as a passionate environmentalist, while pointing out he's also a six-pack cologne-splashing, bench-pressing uber hunk. Or am I just being a tiresome cynic?
Did I tell you he's designing his own sportswear collection?
What's he going to call it? The vest a man can get.
That's really good. I'll suggest it to him.
So, are you going to this launch?
Of course. It'll be quite intimate.
Sounds worrying.
No, I mean small. But I have to go, if only to make sure he mentions his stupendously brilliant editor in his speech. Or you could remind him how hard I worked.
I'm not going.
Yes, you are.
I'm busy that night.
What night is it?
One of my busy nights.
You've got to come.
Not this time. I want to stay here and watch unsuitable films and eat pizza and maybe fart unreprimanded.
I want you to come.
Why? I don't even know him. Although I feel I do. You didn't stop talking about him for 6 weeks.
Rick's has a very obvious appeal.
And you obviously found it very appealing.
Yes, he's powerfully charismatic, but he's not you.
Technically correct, and at the same time damningly hurtful.
He's all swagger and skinny jeans, but you're...
I'm interested to see how you're going to get out of this.
You don't need to do all that to be sexy.
Well, thank you. You've either got it or you...
What's the smell?
Probably my excess testosterone evaporating.
It's the toast.
That's another thing I hate about sourdough. It sets off the smoke alarm.
Bye. Bye, Esther. What? Oh, he's still socially distancing, aren't you, darling? Talk tomorrow.
I'll get a cab.
No, it's a nice night. Let's walk to the station.
In those shoes?
Of course not. Stand still. I'll put on my flats.
It's okay, she's just changing her shoes.
Why did you say that?
I think they thought you were sloshed and I was holding you up.
I do feel a little bit carefree.
Oh, jeez.
Coming out into the fresh, cold air. Oh, I feel like whirling round and round.
Restrain yourself.
Don't you want me to be happy?
Not in front of St. Paul's.
Nobody knows us here. Let's sit on the steps and have a snog.
Behave.
Esther was obviously disappointed you didn't kiss her goodnight.
I break hearts wherever I go.
So what did you think of Rick's? Did you like him?
Not as much as he likes himself.
Yeah, I know. He's pretty full of it, isn't he?
Just a bit.
I'm sorry I had to mingle so much.
I'm used to trailing in your wake, carrying a handbag and a top-up glass.
Lots of people thought we were a couple.
We are.
I mean, me and Rick's, which is flattering.
As opposed to you and me, which is... not flattering?
No, it's just that he's younger than me, slightly.
A couple of decades, isn't it?
All right, I know.
He seemed to have shipped in an adoring fan club of supermodels to follow him round. It was like watching Robert Palmer's Addicted to Love video.
He enjoys putting on a show.
Doesn't he just?
But he's doing some good stuff. Raising awareness of climate change by swimming in the Arctic, running in the rainforest. Oh. The films are very effective. I admire him for doing that.
Oh, me too. Mm. But it doesn't have the gravitas of David Attenborough's authoritative voiceover,
well,
does it? It's more, if you can tear your eyes away from my beautiful, sweaty, half-naked body, swimming and running in a sensitive way, you might notice behind me melting ice caps and industrial-scale logging.
Yes, he's using his assets, but he gets attention. That's what matters.
You're absolutely right, as always.
He mentioned in his speech that he couldn't have done the book without me.
That's because I gave him my don't mess with the missus stare.
You don't mind that he blew me a kiss from the stage?
You? I thought he was blowing me a kiss.
He liked you. He told me.
Then my life is complete.
Are you being funny about this evening?
No, not at all. I thought it was a very successful launch, and I'm really proud of you for editing what is obviously going to be a bestseller, no question.
Thank you.
But I don't particularly want to talk about Rick's all the way home. And it's getting cold, don't you think?
Yeah. I thought the station was closer.
Let's get this cab.
Okay.
Taxi!
Thank you.
Liverpool Street Station, please.
Oh, I love black cabs. They have the same effect on me as hotel rooms.
God, Alphys.
I want to give you a big kiss for coming and supporting me.
Not in front of the cabbie.
Ah, they've seen it all. We've had some fun in the back of taxis, haven't we?
We certainly have, but tonight won't be one of them.
I like the fact that black cabs have a screen. It's discreet.
It's so they don't have to listen to the mindless ramblings of pissed passengers.
Thank you also, darling, so much.
Stop climbing all over me. Sit still. We're nearly there.
But I really want to say how much I appreciated you being so nice and chatty to everyone.
Is this a good time to ask for a pay rise?
Rick said you're a lucky man.
Did he?
The correct response is I know.
I do know, but I don't need him to tell me.
Last time I was in a cab was with Ricks. We were going to that Royal Geographical Society thing where he was speaking.
The night you didn't get back till 2 a.m.
Couldn't get away. But it was
just work, yes, I know. You're lucky that, unlike John Lennon, I'm not a jealous guy.
Here we are.
Or at least I don't show it.
What?
Nothing. Have you got your card handy?
Gonna have to face it, you're addicted to love.
Okay, thanks so much. I'll tell him. Well, I think that's him now. Bye.
Shazam! I am here. Now, what are your other two wishes?
Get off.
Whoa, what's up?
Why are you so late?
The train was delayed.
No, it wasn't.
What do you mean, no, it wasn't?
It was on time.
Did you check?
Of course I did.
Why?
Because you were late and I wanted to know why. And I discovered the train arrived on time. So why did you say it hadn't?
Have I walked into an audition for Line of Duty?
I don't like being lied to.
Who said I was lying?
Christabel just phoned from the Grapes. You left your jacket over the chair.
Oh, is that all? I stopped for a pint, so shoot me.
Christabel also said she asked the woman you were with if she wanted to take the coat to give to you, but she said she didn't know where you lived.
Right.
So just a casual pickup, was it?
I didn't pick anybody up, quite the reverse.
Oh, so she propositioned you?
Nobody propositioned anybody.
Just tell me what happened, then I'll decide whether to file for divorce or kill you.
OK. I was sitting on the train, quietly reading the Evening Standard. In fact, I was nodding off. And this woman tapped me on the arm and said, "Do you remember me?" I didn't.
Oh.
But it turned out she was one of my old students, and she was on her way to visit her mother, who lives over by the common.
Fine. So you chatted all the way from London to here.
And she didn't get on till Bishop Stortford.
I don't care where she got on. What I want to know is why you didn't say goodbye when you got off the train and come straight home.
She offered to buy me a drink.
Oh, so now it's not a brief encounter on the train. It's become a hot date.
It's hardly a hot date. She was a student 30 years ago. She's now a grandmother of three.
Are you saying grandmothers can't be hot? An insult to Susan Sarandon? Catherine Deneuve?
I'm not insulting grandmothers. I'm just saying that... Oh, I don't know what I'm saying. Here's the truth. I'm tired. Long day. Did I have a good time with the guys, were you going to ask?
I didn't care about your lunch. You wouldn't have told me anything about this woman, and I'd never have known, if Christabel hadn't phoned and dropped you in it.
Of course I would have told you, eventually, but I just wanted to come home and lie down.
But you didn't. You went to the Grapes.
It wasn't a calculated decision, just a spontaneous swerve into the pub.
You'd spent most of the day in a pub.
And I was still feeling convivial, but if I'd had any designs on her, do you think I would have taken her to our local, where everybody knows us?
Is she attractive?
In what sense?
In the I wouldn't kick her out of bed sense.
Jeez, next time I'm marrying a woman of refinement.
Well?
I wouldn't kick her out of bed.
Ha!
Because she wouldn't get anywhere near my bed. I'm a married man.
Oh, you've remembered.
I knew you wouldn't believe anything I said about this meeting, which is why I said nothing. And nothing happened. Look, call her if you don't believe me.
You've got her phone number.
Everybody swaps phone numbers.
Swaps? You gave her yours?
I taught her for 3 years.
And yet you don't remember her?
Well, eventually I did, obviously.
She wasn't the one who had to leave in her final term because she was stalking you, was she?
I'm surprised you remember
that. What was her name?
Jessica.
That was it. It was her, wasn't it?
She wasn't stalking me. She just had a bit of a crush. You thought it was really funny at the time. You kept singing the Police song, "Don't Stand So Close to Me."
So why did she leave?
She left because she decided journalism wasn't for her, and now she's a beauty therapist.
Well, she must still have some journalistic instincts. She tracked you down.
It was a chance meeting, and that's the end of it.
Maybe not. She's got your phone number.
I'll block it if it worries you.
Ah, too late.
Oh, hello. Yes, thanks. Back home now, with my wife. It was. Yes, I know I did, because the barmaid phoned my wife, who is here. No, no, of course it didn't cause any problems. Why would it? Nice seeing you too. Bye. Stop giving me the thousand-yard stare.
She just phoned to tell you about the coat, did she?
Who knows? Look, I've blocked her number, OK? The end. What's for dinner?
Cook it yourself.
Right, that's it.
Are you going to get your coat from the pub?
No, I'm leaving you. I'm going to pack a bag.
Good. Don't forget to take your athlete's foot powder. Oh, hello, Di. Not really. Doubt will be coming round later. He's just packing a bag. Apparently he's leaving me. I know, it's crazy. Well, he spent all day in town getting completely caned, and then he met an old student on the train. Yeah, a woman. And he took her for a drink at the Grapes. And because Christabel phoned me, he left his coat. Yeah, it is pathetic, isn't it? Men are rubbish at basic stuff like covering their tracks. No, I don't think there's anything in it, but he still made me really cross because... Oh, here he comes, round two. Hang on. That was quick.
Just a few essentials.
Where are you going?
What's it to you?
I need a forwarding address for your mail.
It'll just be bills. You can keep those. Have a nice life.
I will, now I'm free. Di, he's actually gone. I'm a bit surprised. Usually he falls asleep on the bed while he's packing. And... Oh, he's back, round three. Better go, bye. Changed your mind?
Forgot my sunglasses.
It's February.
I'm thinking of going to Cuba.
Well, you won't get further than Heathrow. Your passport's in the desk.
I'll pick it up tomorrow with my things.
Make sure you take that sombrero you bought in Acapulco.
You think it's funny?
No, I think it's tragic that you turn a perfectly ordinary stand-up fight into a reason to leave forever.
Me? You're the one who utterly misinterprets everything I do.
You're better off without me, then.
I'm glad we agree. Goodbye again. Could you move your car? I'm blocked in.
Do you think that's a metaphor for our relationship?
You said it. Well?
No, I'm not going to move it.
Keys are in the hall. I'll do it myself.
Really? Think about it.
I can't drive. I've had a drink.
Or six.
OK. You win.
You were never very good at storming out. You don't think it through.
You love to start a fight. That's the problem.
We both do.
I don't.
Well, it's not so much the fight we love. It's what comes afterwards.
You mean my grovelling apology?
I do. Let's have it.
OK. I'm sorry. I should have told you what happened the second I came through the door.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming you will now mete out a suitable punishment.
I certainly will.
Please make it the silent treatment.
You're not getting off that lightly. We're going round to see Di and Al's new kitchen.
Dear Lord, that's harsh. You really got me. You really got me. You really got me.
I rather like the desert wind walls, didn't you?
Bit surprising, but quite warm.
Smart double oven.
Yes, I definitely want one of those. At eye level.
Thanks for sticking to elderflower cordial.
I was following orders.
So, are we all right?
I've grovelled. What else do you want from me?
I want to know you understand the reason why I hit the roof.
No, I don't understand. But here's what I've learned living with you. We react differently to perceived threats to our relationship.
Do we?
Yes. Even if I'm scared to death of losing you, I'll display a pragmatic and tolerant face to the world and to you.
When have you ever been scared of losing me? Not David at Pilates.
Give me a break. If you ever left me for a man in recycled plastic shoes and makes sourdough bread, I'd wave you off. But, OK, I was a bit concerned about your obsession with Rick's rodent.
Roden. He's not a rat.
The jury's still out on that one.
It was just
Don't
work.
Don't keep saying it was just work. I know you. We've spent nearly half a century together, and there have been occasions when each of us have been economical with our wedding vows.
You mean Rod?
One example.
What about you and Phoebe the physio?
I'm not comparing notches. I'm just saying that it's almost inevitable, given that we both have a passionate nature and we got together when we were barely out of our teens, that there will be detours.
Did you take a detour with Jessica when you were a lecturer?
No, I didn't. But I could have done. And I'm guessing you could have done with Ricks.
Oh, he's so much younger than me.
Didn't stop Joan Collins, did you?
Very nearly. You remember that night...
when you went to see him for the last time and Esther came round here?
Yes, and when I came home...
eventually.
You joked about snogging Esther and asked me if I'd had a good evening.
I saw you were glowing. It made me very sad.
You didn't look sad, you looked very chipper. You just stomped off to bed.
I didn't want you to see me blubbing.
Did you really think...
Yes, of course I thought you'd slept with him.
That makes me sound like a slapper.
You'd worked with him for months, in his flat, in his country house, just the two of you. You were about to go and swim with him in Loch Ness to get the feel of things, as he put it. It seemed inevitable. And honestly, I wouldn't blame you. He's a fantastically attractive bloke. Why wouldn't you? And why wouldn't he want you?
I only intended to stay long enough for him to check the final chapter proofs. But remember, he'd done his back in, and he was in a hell of a state when I got there.
Mm.
I made him something to eat and he needed help to get about, so I had to kind of...
Put your arms around him.
He's such a strong man and he was embarrassed and in so much pain. I couldn't just let him struggle. He said I would have made a good nurse.
He doesn't know you at all, does he?
Hey!
Good nurse? You let me struggle after my knee op. It was like living with...
Yes, Nurse Ratchet, you said, but I had weeks of you whinging. This was just an hour or so.
It was half the night.
Okay. It was difficult to leave. I felt sorry for him.
Just sorry?
I'd never seen him vulnerable, almost tearful. And anyway, it would have been physically impossible to have sex. He could hardly move.
Is that the only thing that stopped you? The practicalities?
It was a major factor.
Did you help him into bed?
I did. It was blooming difficult. What?
You tell me.
I will tell you. He looked up at me and took my hand and... And yes, at that moment, I nearly got into bed with him. I bent down, kissed him on the cheek and said, I don't think you need me any more tonight. And he just smiled and said, in another life. And I left. And that's all true. And I came home to you quite prepared to tell you all that because I knew I was late and you'd be cross... But you just didn't appear to be bothered.
That's my defence. If I really told you how I feel when someone like Ricks flirts with you and I see you flick back your hair and touch your neck and hold his gaze, I want to send him to sleep with the fishes.
But you'd just tease me or joke about it.
Of course. If I played the heavy, you'd be off.
I wouldn't.
You might, and I can't take that risk. You slammed into me today for nothing.
Well,
one short chat, and you thought it was infidelity writ large. But I watched you blossoming and flirting for months as your relationship with Ricks developed, going out on many evenings looking so beautiful for another man. And I said nothing.
You hit the roof when I was supposed to go to Scotland with him.
That was because we'd arranged to go to Marion and John's anniversary dinner, and you said you couldn't make it. You chose him over our oldest friends. It made me very angry. But it also broke my heart. But still I smiled, like the husband in Brief Encounter, each time you returned, and silently thanked you for coming back to me.
I do exactly the same when I think someone's after you.
Rubbish. If there's a whiff of anyone saying hello to me, you go from naught to ballistic and the time it takes for me to say, honey, I'm home, and I shrivel with guilt, even if I'm completely innocent, like today.
You might be completely innocent, but I think Jessica has you in her sights.
And you don't think I love you enough to repel boarders, so to speak?
You don't always notice when women are coming on to you. A lot of women find you irresistible, including me.
You're all that matters. So here's an idea. Instead of turning into Lady Macbeth if I have one drink in a crowded pub, be a little calmer, less confrontational.
OK, I'll try and remember that when you come home legless after picking up a strange woman.
Stop it.
You're right. I will be nicer.
Starting now?
I thought you were tired.
So did I. Who knew elderflower cordial was an aphrodisiac?
Simply irresistible.
Sorry I've been so long.
It's okay. I've only just started making the chili.
What's this?
A manuscript.
Are you editing another book?
No, it's not for me. It's for you.
Oh?
I had a visitor while you were out.
Who?
Not exactly a visitor. More a thwarted courier.
Stop being so mysterious. What are you talking about?
I was just walking upstairs when I heard a kerfuffle at the letterbox. Somebody was obviously trying to force this huge envelope through the flap, but it was far too big. So I flung open the door and this woman fell forward and landed at my feet.
What woman?
Your friend, Jessica.
She's not my friend.
She obviously thinks she is.
How did she know where we live?
I asked her, and she said you gave her your address.
I did not.
I believe you. And I'm sure they wouldn't have told her at the pub. So I think she followed you home at some point.
Did you ask her that?
No. I asked her why she wanted to see you, and she said she told you she'd written a script, and you seemed keen to read it.
I was just being polite.
She wrote it when she was your student, but she didn't show it to you then.
Did she say what it's about?
Guess.
A student with a crush on her tutor?
No. A tutor who seduced a student and the student had to leave because she was pregnant.
Christ! Did you throw her out?
No. I was taking your advice to be calm and non-confrontational. Also, I wanted to find out what her game was. So, I invited her in.
Risky move.
Offered her a cup of tea.
Wow.
Got out the lemon drizzle cake.
And did she break under the strain?
She was very charming and complimentary, admiring the house, the paintings, picking up the photos, the one of you in your speedos.
Aww.
I knew what she was doing. Obviously, she thought if she worked on me and became my friend, she could get to you. I kept her talking, laughed at her stories. I showed her our bedroom.
Oh,
I poured her more tea.
I almost feel sorry for her.
She was like a clumsy fly, stumbling into my glossy silken web.
Is it weird if I say this is sounding very sexy?
And then I asked her where she got the idea for the story. And she laughed. She's got an annoying, clattery laugh, like dropped cutlery.
Tell me, what did she say about the story?
She said, I'd probably think it was about you.
Whatever it was about, it wasn't me.
But although she admitted she'd had a huge crush on you, she said you were the perfect gentleman, often spending time talking to her after hours, just the two of you.
I didn't treat her any differently from anyone else.
Exactly. You're a naturally very warm, kind man. And some women deliberately misread that.
She's a complete fantasist.
I'm aware of that. So I took her outside and walked her around the garden.
And?
And I showed her the pond.
OK, so she got the tour.
And I told her that if she ever came within 100 miles of you again, she'd be sleeping with the fishes.
Blimey. I'm glad you're on my side. How did she take it?
She left so fast she forgot to pick up the manuscript.
I'll dump it in the recycling.
It's quite good.
You've read it?
Of course I've read it.
What do you think?
You mean, do I think it's about you?
Well, do you?
I think it's about what she wanted to happen between you, but it's certainly not you. This guy wears brown shoes, plays golf, and took her to see Mike Oldfield playing his tubular bells twice.
A Philistine with a tin ear? Definitely not me.
Are you relieved?
It's not much fun always being the good guy. I rather fancied being immortalised as a cad and a bounder.
Mm-hmm. There's still time.
Conversations from a Long Marriage
was written by Jan Etherington.
It starred Joanna Lumley
and Roger Allam.